गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वन चारि यमुना यमुना तीर वन चारि जयो राधा माधव कुंज विहारि गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारि यशोदा नंदन व्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वन चार यमुना जयो राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवर्जकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद् उभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवर्जकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमद् भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवत महापुराण की जय। निताई गौर प्रेमानंदे समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय। श्री गुरु गौरांग की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी ओम ज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंदा श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो टू चैप्टर सिक्स टेक्स्ट नंबर सिक्स। बाहवो लोकपालानां प्रायश क्षेम कर्मणां बाहवो लोकपालानां प्रायश क्षेम कर्मणां बाहवो लोकपालानां प्रायश क्षेम कर्मणां Lokapalanam of the governing deities of the planets, the demigods, prayasha, almost always, kshema, kshema karmanam, of those who are leaders and protectors of the general mass. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The large arms are productive fields for the great demigods and other leaders of the living entities who protect the general mass. Purport. This important verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is corroborated and nicely explained in the Bhagavad Gita as follows. Yad yad vibhuti mat sattam srimad urjitam evava tata devavagachatvam mamat tejomsha sambhavat athava bahunaitena kim gyatena tavarjuna vishtabhyaham idam krishnam ekamshena sthito jagat. There are many powerful kings, leaders, learned scholars, scientists, artists, engineers, inventors, excavators, archaeologists, industrialists, politicians, economists, business magnates, and many more powerful deities or demigods like Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Surya, Varuna, and Marut, who are all protecting the interest of the universal affairs of maintenance in different positions. And all of them are different powerful parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna is the father of all living entities who are placed in different high and low positions according to their desires or aspirations. Some of them, as particularly mentioned above, are specifically endowed with powers by the will of the Lord. A sane person must know for certain that a living being, however powerful he may be, is neither absolute nor independent. All living beings must accept the origin of their specific power as mentioned in this verse. And if they act accordingly, then simply by discharging their respective occupational duties, they can achieve the highest perfection of life, namely eternal life, complete knowledge and inexhaustible blessings. As long as the powerful men of the world do not accept the origin of their respective powers, namely the personality of Godhead, the actions of Maya will continue to act. The actions of Maya are such that a powerful person, misled by the illusory material energy, wrongly accepts himself as all in all and does not develop God consciousness. As such, the false sense of egoism, namely myself and mine, has become overly prominent in the world, and there is a hard struggle for existence in human society. The intelligent class of men therefore must admit the Lord as the ultimate source of all energies and thus pay tribute to the Lord for His good blessings. Simply by accepting the Lord as the supreme proprietor of everything, since He is actually so, one can achieve the highest perfection of life. Whatever a person may be in the estimation of the social order of things, if a person tries to reciprocate a feeling of love toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is satisfied with the blessings of the Lord, he will at once feel the highest peace of mind for which he is hankering life after life. Peace of mind, or in other words, the healthy state of mind, can be achieved only when the mind is situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The parts and parcels of the Lord are endowed with specific powers for rendering service unto the Lord. Just as a big business magnate's sons are empowered by the specific powers of administration, the obedient son of the father never goes against the will of the father and therefore passes life very peacefully in concurrence with the head of the family, the father. Similarly, the Lord being the father, all living beings should fully and satisfactorily discharge the duty and will of the father as faithful sons. This very mentality will at once bring peace and prosperity to human society. Hare Krishna. So I would like to welcome all the devotees for this morning Srimad Bhagavatam discussion. Thank you for coming. It is said that there are three kinds of people. The people with little intelligence, they discuss about the people of this material world. And the people with average intelligence, they will discuss about the events happening in this world. However, the people who are highly intelligent, they discussed wisdom and philosophy of life. So here we can see that firstborn son of Lord Vishnu, that is Lord Brahma himself, and son of Lord Brahma is Narada. Okay, both are coming together, father and son, and they are also discussing something. And what are they discussing? They are not discussing about anything, about any people of this world, nor the events happening in this world. Rather, these two great personalities are coming together to to discuss the philosophy and wisdom of life. And that is the magnificent creation of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, in Vedanta Sutra, it is mentioned that Athatho Brahma Jignyasa. Atha Brahma Jignyasa. That means, thereafter, therefore, having achieved this human form of life, what we are supposed to do is we are supposed to inquire into the Supreme Absolute Truth. Okay? And thereafter and therefore, these two words are explained properly, that first thereafter is referring to after having performed all the karma kanda sacrifices and understanding the futility of these karma kanda sacrifices. So now that we have achieved the human form of life once again, so what we are supposed to do is we are supposed to inquire into the Absolute Truth. So, although we have traversed through all these 84 lakhs of species of life, and now we have achieved this human form of life, and the goal of human form of life is not to inquire, discuss any other thing less than the Supreme Absolute Truth. So, therefore, Bhaktivedanta Institute, under the direction of Srila Prabhupada, Bhakti Swarup Damodar Maharaj, he actually instituted this Bhakti Vedanta Institute. And what is the logo of Bhakti Vedanta Institute? Anybody remembers? Athato Brahma Jignyasa. Athato Brahma Jignyasa is the logo for this institute. So once it so happened in a school, the teacher asked questions to the students. Children. The question was that what you want to become in life? The teacher was asking the students. You want to become teacher or you want to become doctor, engineer, lawyer, singer, preacher? What you would like to become? You want to become a businessman or what? And different children, you know, answered this question in different ways. But one particular child answered this question in a very interesting way. He said that I want to become happy. He didn't say that I want to become this or that. The answer was, I just want to become happy. The teacher said that I think you did not understand the question properly. My question was something else. The child answered back, you did not understand the life. Ultimately, the life is meant to become happy. Of course, these may be various kinds of professions we may take up. But ultimately, we are searching for the happiness. So, savai pum sam paro dharma yato bhakti radokshaje ahaituki apratihata yayatma suprasidati. So, in this verse, it is mentioned that how one can become satisfied in one's life. That is by rendering pure devotional service unto the Supreme Lord, which is uninterrupted and without any motives. When one renders such important service to the Supreme Lord, then he can think of becoming happy in this world. And it is said that unless persons asks his questions, we cannot understand the mentality of that person. So only when somebody opens up his mouth, then we can understand what kind of mentality or what is the disposition in life. So here we can see that Lord Brahma and Narad Muni are coming together and they are discussing the Supreme Absolute Truth, which is the goal of life. So, in the past, the previous chapter, Narad Muni had asked 6 questions to Brahma. So, these questions are enumerated over there. So, the question number 1 is, Yad Rupam, what are the symptoms of this material manifest world? Yad Adhisthanam, What is the shelter of this material manifestation? This is the second question. Yatash Srishtam. How is it created? How is it material universe is being created? This is the third question. And fourthly, he asks, Yad Samsthanam. How is it conserved? Of course, this question is going to be answered in future verses of this sixth chapter. And then the Yat Param, what it depends on, how this material world is depending upon. And finally, he has the sixth question, Yatcha, that what is it composed of? What this material world is composed of? This is the sixth question of Narada Muni to Lord Brahma. And in answer to this sixth question, it is being answered here in this verse. That Supreme Lord, who is none other than Garbhadaksha Vishnu, is himself the material as well as the effective cause. That means he is the immediate cause as well as the remote cause. Who is that personality? So none other than Garbhadaksha Vishnu. So we can understand this concept by knowing this well, known example. This example of potter and the pot itself. Isn't it? So in the previous chapter also Srila Prabhupada mentions about this. So actually the material cause, that means the ingredients which are required to manifest this material world, they are in three phases, three categories. First one is Adibhuta. Adibhuta is five gross material manifestations, which are earth, water, fire, air and ether, isn't it? And secondly, Adhyatma. Adhyatma means basically the five working senses. We have these five working senses, such as our hands, legs, our speech, and our anus and genitals. These are the five working senses. And we also have these five knowledge acquiring senses, such as eyes, ears, nose, speech and touch. These are the five knowledge acquiring senses. So they are known as Adhyatma. Now finally, the Adidaiva. These Adidaiva are presiding deities or the demigods. And for each of these faculties, there are different demigods or appointed. For the eyes, there is sun god. Only when the sun sees, then we can see. Similarly, we have these ears, and Digdevatas are the demigods surrounding all the sides. They are known as, the in charge for our ears. Then for our skin, there is a Vayu or wind god. He is responsible. And for our tongue, he is represented by Varuna, who is the ocean god. And we have this nose, and Ashwini Kumaras are the in charge. And so on. So these are the material causes with which Lord manifests this material world. And he is the ultimate cause, in the sense that without him being there, nothing moves. Just like there is a potter, the example, in the pot itself. In order to create pot, we need clay, we need that wheel on which the pot, the clay is kept, and there is a rod which is used for, you know, making run this the wheel itself, and so many other ingredients are there, tools are there. But unless the potter comes, the person who makes the pot, he actually comes, he does something, nothing moves there. It will be, everything will be kept as it is, no matter how long the time may pass. So similarly, all these ingredients may be there, but unless the Supreme Lord who is the ultimate cause, he has to come into the picture, and he has to activate these material causes, the ingredients, only when there is the manifestation of this material world. So we may find it a little technical to understand. However, it is very essential to know these facts and figures. Because in Chaitanya Charitamrita it is mentioned that Siddhanta Valiya Chitte Na Kare Alas Iha Haite Krishna Lage Sudhruda Manas. That means a sincere student should not neglect to understand the philosophy, considering it is to be too complex. For such a discussion, strengthen the mind, and thus one becomes attached to the Supreme Lord Krishna. So that, therefore, this first and second canto, these are little, especially the second canto is supposed to be little difficult to understand. However, with the nice purports given by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, we can actually understand these subject matters, though it may appear to be little complicated. So, the effective cause is the Supreme Lord Himself. Supreme Lord, who is none other than Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So, we understood the example of potter, how unless the potter comes, so nothing actually moves and no manifestation of any pots. So, in today's verse, many things are being spoken by Srila Prabhupada. He mentions about the demigods. He enumerates all the demigods and also poor people of this material world, how they make things move. And also Srila Prabhupada mentions about the ultimate peace and prosperity, which is the want of the time. Everybody is looking for it. So let us try to understand these different topics. So, it is mentioned in Upanishad, Shvetashvatara Upanishad, that Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natat samaschadika shraddhasyate parasya shaktir vividhaya shruyate svabhaviki jnana balakriyacha. That means, although Supreme Lord is staying in His own abode, enacting His beautiful pastimes, but still He gets His job done very nicely, very systematically, with the help of the universal rulers who are none other than these demigods. So how is it possible? Because that is the definition of the Supreme Lord. He doesn't have to exert Himself. Just by indication, He can get the job done. That is the definition of the Supreme Lord. So with the help of these demigods and all these material manifestations, so ultimately the Supreme Lord brings forth this material universe. So the same thing has been spoken in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Kapil Dev is instructing his mother. He says that Madbhayati Vat Vato Yam Surashchapati Madbhayat Varshati Indro Dahati Agni Mrutyuscharati Madbhayat. This is a very interesting verse. Mad bhayati vati vatoyam. That means if there is wind circulating around, that is only because of fear of the Supreme Lord, the wind god is working all throughout. Because he has been ordered by the Supreme Lord to perform his duties. Similarly, if there is sun shining in the sky, that is only because of the order of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the sun is shining, the moon is shining. Then he said that Varshati Indra, if Indra, the rain god, is showering for the rains, that is only because he has been ordered by the Supreme Lord to do so. Dahati Agni, no, if you find the fire is very hot and it is burning, it is only because the fire god has been ordered by the Supreme Lord to do so. So, Mrutyuscharati Madhvayat, ultimately the god of death, the Yamaraj, is also exerting on everybody and sparing none. It is only because he has been ordered by the Supreme Lord. So therefore, that is the supreme, absolute supremacy of the Supreme Lord, that he can order these demigods and get the job done. So, and in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that the one who doesn't accept the fact that the Supreme Lord is the ultimate controller and the master of the demigods, one who doesn't understand this, then the Prabhupada said that he will be ruled over by the material energy. He will never be able to overcome the effects of this material energy because he has not understood the fact. The fact is that the Supreme Lord is the supreme and all the demigods are simply subservient. And this sixth chapter is actually mentioned as Purusha Supta Confirmed. The title given by Srila Prabhupada is Purusha Supta Confirmed. And I was trying to understand why is it so. Actually, we know this Purusha Supta prayers which are uttered by the demigods. Whenever there is a difficulty in this material world, all the demigods, they take shelter of Lord Brahma. And Brahma takes all these demigods, they go to the milk ocean, the Shweta Dvipa, where the Supreme Lord is willing to bestow his causeless mercy upon his devotees. These demigods, they go there and they actually start reciting these beautiful prayers, which are known as Purusha Supta. And whenever we do Abhishek of their lordships here in the temple, the group of devotees who will be standing in back over there in one of the rooms, and they start reciting these Purusha Supta prayers, which are very dear to the Lord. And also Brahma Samhita is recited, and in the temple hall we see that everybody is chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So thus these Purusha Supta prayers are especially recited by the demigods, and these are the collections of the verses from Rigveda basically, and some of them they are from Yajurveda, and these collections of the verses are known as Purusha Supta prayers. And in this Purusha Supta prayers, basically it is mentioned about the four varnas and four ashramas which are instituted by the Supreme Lord himself. And also in this Purusha Supta we can see that how this material world is manifested. That has been explained over there. And how the Lord Vishnu is the only and only foundation for this entire material cosmos. These are the things which are discussed in Purusha Supta. So same thing we can see in this chapter, sixth chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, that how these four varnas and four ashramas are actually the blessings of the Lord to the humanity, and how this material world is manifested by his surprisingly magical way. And at the same time, it is also mentioned that Garbhadaksha Vishnu himself is the foundation of this entire material existence. So thus we can understand this. What has been explained in the Purusha Supta prayers, we can see the same thing in this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And again it is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam that yatha taror moola nishechanena trupyanti tatskanda bhujopashaka pranopaharacha yatarhanam tathaiva sarvaharanam achyuta ijja. That means, although there may be innumerable leaves on the tree, okay, but we cannot actually try to water each one of them. It is impossible. However, when we water the root of the tree, actually all the twigs, all the leaves and the entire tree is nourished. Similarly, when we understand that Supreme Lord Vishnu or Krishna is the source of all the things. So when we worship Supreme Lord, then every demigod is worshipped. At the same time, we understand the supremacy of the Lord. So without knowing the supremacy of the Supreme Lord, we simply waste our time here in this material world. So Srila Prabhupada actually paraphrases the verse of Bhagavad Gita. That is, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Surdam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shanti Ruchati. This is a word, verse from Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada is actually paraphrasing this verse in this purport. And here, actually it is mentioned how the Supreme Lord is supreme enjoyer of all the sacrifices. He is the proprietor of the entire material existence. And also he is the best well-wishing friend of all the living entities. And generally when who are actually the newcomers, they find this verse to be very egoistic one. They come up with this argument saying that why Krishna is so egoistic in this verse? Why he has to boast so much about himself? Actually, he is not boasting about himself. He is actually revealing the facts. This is what I am, actually, if at all you want to know. Krishna is simply, mercifully, actually revealing the facts and figures. So as compared to the opulence of the material world, what we can offer in this material world to the Supreme Lord? Because whatever is manifested in this material world is actually ultimately the energy of the Supreme Lord only. And it is actually inferior material energy, it is known as. It is nothing called as superior. However, Supreme Lord actually enjoys a superior energy in the spiritual world. But it is his utter compassion on the conditioned souls. He comes to this material world and still accepts our offerings, which are actually not worthy of offering. Because he is supreme and his level of enjoyment is something unimaginable for the conditioned living entities. However, still he comes and he accepts. So especially during our festivals, we try to offer so many thousands of bhogas, eatables to the Lord. But ultimately we end up repeating the dishes. Because we just cannot make all these offerings exclusively. However, in the spiritual world, Srimati Radharani, she never repeats any dish second time. Anytime she prepares anything, it is something new, something novel, which we cannot understand. But still, Krishna comes to this material world and still accepts our simple offerings. That is his merciful nature towards the living entities. So, when Krishna does this kind of a thing, he actually extending himself, extending his mercy, and actually is giving an opportunity to all the living entities to actually develop a personal loving relationship with him. So we have to understand this. So suppose, for example, if Mr. Ambani, he decides, okay, let me go to Chowpatty and have some bhel puri or vada pav or anything. So when he decides to do so, it doesn't mean that his kitchen doesn't provide all these items. He can actually get himself at his own restaurant. But still, if he decides to come and enjoy these eatables, actually who is being benefited? Not Ambani, because he can enjoy these items. But when he goes to a particular shop or a stall, then he eats over there. The proprietor, of that stall or the vendor, he is the one who is getting actually benefited. Not the person, isn't it? He may become very proud and he may take selfies and he may post all those pictures in Instagram and all these social media. And who becomes the famous? The vendor. Because anyway, that Great person is already famous, isn't it? Similarly, here also, when Krishna comes to this material world, and when he says that patram pushpam phalam toyam yume bhaktya prayachati, when he says this, it is a benefit of all of us that he is willing to accept our humble, meager offerings. So, in other words, Lord is indicating here that he can offer anything which is offerable as per the scriptures, and I am here to accept it and bestow benedictions upon you. So, that is the greatness of the Lord. So, therefore we can understand that he is a perfect reciprocator, in the sense that he accepts Bhishma's arrows perfectly, because Bhishma was showering arrows upon the Supreme Lord, and Krishna, being very merciful, he actually accepted the sharp arrows of Lord Bhishma, and at the same time he accepts the flowers offered by the gopis and his devotees, isn't it? So, and he is also willing to accept the chastisement or loving dealings of Mother Yashoda. Okay, so he is a perfect reciprocator. So anything we offer unto his lotus feet with love and devotion, he is willing to accept it and bestow causeless mercy upon us. So therefore, he is a perfect reciprocator. And we may understand that, okay, he may be the supreme enjoyer, he may be the supreme master of all the universes. So how am I going to benefit? Because I am a simply insignificant living entity. In these multitudes of universes, there are innumerable living entities. I am one insignificant such a living entity. How is it that he is going to help me at all? So therefore, again, he states that Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvamam Shantrichut. He said that Suhrit. So there are four kinds of friends in this world. In English, there are no gradations. So everywhere we say that friend. However, Sanskrit has a great vocabulary which states that Mitra, Bandhu, Sakha and Suhrit. So these are the four kinds of friends. Again, we have to use the word friend only, because there is nothing else than this word. So these are different varieties of friends. However, Krishna recognizes himself as a Suhrut. That means the best ever well-wisher. Srila Prabhupada also always signed his letters saying that you are ever well-wisher. And what it means to become a ever, ever well-wisher? That means he is willing to show his compassion, love and affection no matter what we do to him. So, here we are in this material world wandering all over, forgetting our relationship with him from time immemorial and trying to enjoy the material energy in this material world, the futile material energy. But still Krishna is willing to come and is willing to extend his mercy, willing to extend his helping hand. And thus he is our ever well-wisher. That means we may be rejecting him at every time, but he is not going to reject us. He is there to help us. He is there to pick us up. So that is the meaning of ever, ever well-wisher. So when Krishna says that I am Surat, Suratam Sarvabhutanam, not only one or particular person, but he is a Suratam Sarvabhutanam. That means he is the best well-wishing friend to the entire material existence. That means he can reciprocate with innumerable living entities. So we may have friends 1, 2, 3, 4 or dozen or two dozens. How can we actually reciprocate with all of them? At times it becomes difficult, isn't it? Because when we give attention to one person, then somebody else is not happy with us. So therefore, we cannot compare with the Supreme Lord. So therefore he is here mentioned as Surat. So recently I was discussing with some devotees, and at the end of the class the question came, the famous question, and actually very relevant these days. The question is that how can we ever imagine to see that Ramaraja is being established? Is it ever possible these days? Because nowadays we saw that great manifestation of the deity of Lord Ram in Ayodhya in the Ram temple. So this devotee asked this question, how is it ever possible to get this Ramaraja in this chaotic situation? And I was very thrilled to hear this question, and I thought of answering this question directly by reading Srila Prabhupada's purport. So Srila Prabhupada writes in 9th canto, 10th chapter, 50th verse. So let us read it out. It is very significant. Yeah. The translation, Srila Prabhupada writes, being pleased by the full surrender and submission of Lord Bharata, Lord Ramachandra then accepted the throne of the state. He cared for the citizens exactly like a father. And the citizens, being fully engaged in their occupational duties of Varna and Ashrama, accepted him as their father. This is the translation. Now the purport. Srila Prabhupada mentions, the people are very fond of the pattern of Ramaraja, and even today politicians sometimes form a party called Ramaraja. But unfortunately, they have no obedience to the Supreme Lord, Lord Ram. It is sometimes said that the people want the kingdom of God without God. Such an aspiration, however, is never to be fulfilled. Good government can exist when the relationship between the citizens and the government is like that exemplified by Lord Ramachandra and his citizens. Lord Ramachandra ruled his kingdom exactly as a father takes care of his children, and the citizens, being obliged to the good government of the Lord Ramchandra, accepted the Lord as their father. Thus the relationship between the citizens and the government should be exactly like that of between the father and the son. When the sons in a family are well trained, they are obedient to the father and mother. And when the father is well qualified, he takes good care of the children. As indicated here by the words Swadharma Nirata Varnashrama Gunan. Varnashrama Gunanvita. The people were good citizens because they accepted the institution of Varna and Ashram, which arranges society in the Varna divisions of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, and the Ashrama divisions of Brahmacharya, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyas. This is actual human civilization. People must be trained according to the different Varnashrama occupational duties as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Chaturvarne maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah. The purpose of Varnashrama is to enable people to become God conscious. Varnashrama acharavata purushena parapuman Vishnu raradhyate pumsa nanyat tatto shakaranam. The entire Varnashrama scheme is intended to enable people to become Vaishnavas. Vishnu rev Asya Devata. When people worship Lord Vishnu as the Supreme Lord, they become Vaishnavas. Thus, people should be trained to become Vaishnavas through the system of Varna and Ashram. as they were during the reign of Lord Ramchandra, when everyone was fully trained to follow Varnashrama principles. So again, Srila Prabhupada mentions So in Kali Yuga, however, because Varnashrama system is not followed, people are generally thieves and rogues. In the system of democracy, such thieves and rogues naturally collect money from other thieves and rogues, and thus there is a chaos in government and no one is happy. But here the example of good government is being found in the reign of Lord Ramchandra. If people follow this example, there will be good government all over the world. So Srila Prabhupada is actually emphasizing that when we follow the Varnashrama principles given by the scriptures, we can actually establish Ramaraja even now. That is the confidence given by Srila Prabhupada. Because these principles are not given by anybody else other than the Supreme Lord. So when we, as mentioned in this purport, that during the reign of Lord Ram, so the citizens and the ruler, they were cooperating with each other. In the sense, the citizens were following the Varnashrama principles, and being a best ruler, Lord Ramchandra could take care of all the citizens just like one takes care of one's own children. So therefore, it is also mentioned over there, after ruling the entire world for 11,000 years, Lord Ramachandra actually took every single person, every single living entity, whoever residing in entire Ayodhya, back to the spiritual world. And that was a capacity, that is a power of Supreme Lord, Lord Ram, that he could actually bring that material, spiritual world right there in Ayodhya when he was ruling. And when he left this world, he took the entire spiritual world, that is Ayodhya, again back to the spiritual world. So that is the principle of Ramaraja. That means when we accept the principles and the teachings of Lord Ram or Lord Krishna, then actually we can actually find that long cherished desire, or actually a dream, the dream of seeing this Ramaraja, and that is possible. So thus our future is very bright. If at all we want this Ramaraja, we can actually find it. For that reason, we have to first go through these purports and these books written by His Divine Grace and understand the principles of Ramaraja, and then we actually practice what has been spoken in these purports in our lives. We can actually find this material world to be seen as Ramaraja. So I'd like to stop at this point. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanande, Hare Krishna.